This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV program on Free Speech TV and on our website. The United States incarcerates more people per capita than any other country in the world. And of those that are incarcerated, little effort is expended for rehabilitation. Now, a new book powerfully argues that one of the most positive things we can do in our system of mass incarceration is to provide higher education for inmates. It's good for the inmates themselves, it's good for government, and it's good for society. Higher education initiatives in prisons have had resounding success at reducing rates of violence within prisons and also reducing recidivism rates among released prisoners. My guest is Ellen Condliffe Lagerman. She is a former dean of the Harvard Graduate School of Education, president of the Spencer Foundation, and distinguished fellow of the Bard Prison Initiative at Bard College. And her new book is called Liberating Minds, The Case for College in Prison. Welcome to the program, Ellen.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with the personal story that you tell in your book of Anthony Cardinales to sort of start our conversation about how even the story of a single person's life being so dramatically transformed is a really good illustration of the impact of higher education in prison. Who is Anthony? What happened to him?
Anthony, who is known to those of us who were his friends as Tone, was a child in the South Bronx, and by the age of 17, he had been incarcerated, actually for a murder. And he was sentenced to 17 years in prison, and he spent his first years in prison fighting and causing all sorts of trouble. And then one day, his daughter came to visit him, and she was getting in trouble at school, and he said to her, "You should stop fighting at school." And she said, "But Daddy, that's what you do." And at that point, he realized he had to turn his life around if he wanted to be a model for his daughter. So he made his way to one of the prisons in New York State where the Bard Prison Initiative operates and managed to get himself first into the associate's degree program and then into the bachelor's degree program. He did extremely well in all his courses. He impressed all of his professors. And as soon as he got out of prison, he was hired by a recycling company in Westchester, where he remains as one of the most senior trusted managers.
So what sort of access did he have to education? And in general, what access do prisoners in the U.S. have? I mean, of course, we have a very patchwork system of incarceration. We've got federal incarceration, then we've got state prisons, we've got jail systems. But in general, and maybe statistically speaking, is it a given that inmates have access to higher education, or is it the exception?
It's very much the exception that they have access to higher education. In most states in the nation now, high school equivalency is available. And in some states, New York is one example, it's required. But in most states in the nation, there is not access to education beyond the high school level. California is one of the more progressive states, and they are trying to create partnerships between every prison in the state and a college. But that's very much still the exception. I don't have the exact statistic, but it's a very small fraction of prisoners who are able to go to college. Many states limit access to the internet, so they can't even do distance learning. It's really a very impoverished kind of educational opportunity for people in prison. And that's very short-sighted, because 97% of them will come home. And all of us are better off if the people returning from prison are educated and ready to move into the workforce, as opposed to having spent time being, in a sense, de-skilled.
And in fact, isn't there a strong correlation between lack of higher education and incarceration to begin with? Don't a lot of folks end up in prison are ones who haven't had the chance to go to college?
Yes, absolutely. The people in prison tend to be the most educationally disadvantaged among the whole population. In fact, in New York State, in the BARD program, only 17% of the people who have been admitted to the program had actually finished high school before they were sent to prison. So compared to very significant percentages of the general population. Yeah. So there's no question that the people in prison are not well educated to begin with, and their educational deficits are increased by the lack of opportunity they have while they are in prison. And we simply cannot afford the waste of talent that the prisons represent. There are so many talented people in prison. They need to have opportunities to develop their minds and their characters and all sorts of things.
So what happens within a prison that offers its inmates the chance for higher education? First of all, how much of a desire is there? I mean, we might imagine that there is an overwhelming desire for education, but I'm sure those people who sort of write off inmates, the tough on crime approach, might imagine that there is no interest in higher education. How do prisoners react when offered the chance to get a college degree?
There's very, very high interest. The college programs that exist in American prisons vary tremendously. From a handful that are 4 years of liberal arts education at a very rigorous level, to ones that are more community college, vocationally oriented programs. But across the spectrum of programs, there is extremely high demand. And in the case, for example, of the BARD Prison Initiative, we have basically 10 applicants for every single one who's admitted. So there's great interest in the program. Our program at BARD is selective. Many programs are not. There is a very good program, for example, at San Quentin, and that is selective on the basis of first come, first served. It is not a program like ours, which requires an entrance exam and an interview.
So what happens within a prison where there is higher education being offered? I mean, of course, for those individuals involved, the transformation, I imagine, is quite positive. You know, my own college experience, I remember, was the best years of my life. You know, being exposed to so many different intellectual pursuits can have a really powerful impact. But even if you set that aside, on the prison as a whole, what are the impacts of having higher education?
Well, there are several things. One is that let's say you have 100 people in a college program. Those 100 people may have 10 friends who are not in the college program. And the 100 people in the college program talk to their 10 friends about what they're doing. And they may even tutor them and share the knowledge they're acquiring. So there is a multiplier effect of college and prison. Secondly, it changes the atmosphere in a prison. If you have a cadre of people who are looked up to as leaders and as responsible people, and everybody knows they're the college people, it makes a very big difference in the atmosphere of a prison. Wardens and people responsible for running prisons will tell you that, in fact, there is less violence, there are less infractions, that means breaking of the rules. Many of the problems that trouble prisons are lessened by having a college program.
Do they feel more hopeful when they have access to higher education? Do they appear to find more of a sort of reason for living, if you will, right? I mean, to me, education opens so many doors, but it often opens mental doors. Do you see those impacts?
Yes. It helps people be hopeful in a variety of ways. First of all, there is no question that people who leave prison will do better if they've been to college.
Right. Their employment opportunities are significantly higher, right, with a college degree?
The employment opportunities are much greater. And people who say, oh, you've been to college, you can stick with something, you have the personal qualities to be a good college student, who are going to hire you. So yes, it very much increases the chances of employment. But beyond that, it gives purpose to your day. It gives purpose to your time there. Otherwise, people just have 24 hours after 24 hours with very little to do that's challenging. And often they get in trouble because they're so bored. And this is a way for them to stretch their minds and begin to learn, which is the most important outcome of education for anybody. And the people who go to college see the changes in themselves. They realize their minds are becoming more powerful in all sorts of ways. And that's a wonderful feeling. And if you feel good, you tend to feel happy.
Does it matter if there are inmates who might be in prison for life versus those who know that they're going to be released at some point?
Well, many people who are sentenced to prison for life have a term and then life. I mean, 10 years to life, 20 years to life, whatever it is. And most of them will go home at some point. As I think I said, 97% of all people in the New York, in state prisons across the United States will leave the prison at some point. So most of them go home.
But so this offers, yes, go ahead.
In my opinion, education ought to be available to everybody as an opportunity that enhances your life, that enhances our democracy, that strengthens our society. So I personally would not differentiate between people who are going to go home and those who will never go home.
Of course. Now, what about recidivism rates for those who are released from prison and don't have access to higher education? Many often end up being reincarcerated for various reasons and end up back in prison. Is there a difference for those people who've had access to higher education, maybe gotten a college degree?
There's a huge difference. And the very rough numbers I use are the following. Nationally, and it varies tremendously from state to state, recidivism rates, and recidivism, as you suggested, covers a whole bunch of different things. But recidivism rates can run as high as 50%. Generally speaking, for people who've been through a college program, the return rate to prison is closer to 2%.
Wow.
So to make it even rougher, it goes from half the population in the prison to almost zero.
That's
amazing. It's very effective in terms of reducing returns.
Now, let's talk about why this isn't more widespread. And actually, even before we do that, tell us about the BART Prison Initiative in particular and what it is about that program that makes it unique. What are some of the things about it that could be replicated around the country?
Well, the BART program is one of the oldest in the country. It was started by an undergraduate at Bard College, and it has been nurtured by Bard College and existed as a result of private fundraising ever since, about 15 years. And we've served hundreds of people and now have a consortium for the liberal arts in college that spreads the program across the country. The Bard program is, I'm not sure it's unique, but it's certainly unusual in the academic rigor of its program. The students in the BART Prison Initiative do exactly the same classwork and academic requirements as students at BART College on the main campus. In the classes I've taught for the BART Prison Initiative, I've used essentially the same syllabi and taught the same courses that I used to teach at Harvard and before that at NYU and Columbia.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. They are not watered down. They are not diluted. And the students rise up to the challenge. They become extremely articulate, not just verbally, but also in writing. And it shows what high expectations combined with intensive, committed, good teaching can really do.
Now, you said that
You
said this was a privately funded initiative, and often whenever you talk about inmates and services for inmates, there are politicians in D.C. who would like to see more and more incarceration because that's money going into imprisonment. But less and less money to actually support prisoners because society has written off those who end up in prison. And the idea that you would actually put money into these folks is considered a waste. However, so in terms of money, how much does it actually end up costing society less to spend the money up front to educate prisoners?
Yes. There's no question that college and prison is cost-effective in dollars and cents terms. Leave out for the moment the human costs. But it costs basically $5,000 for a year of a liberal arts college program in prison. Some of the vocational programs and community college programs may be even slightly less expensive. It costs in New York State, and again, this varies tremendously from state to state, roughly $50,000 to keep a person in prison. If you can help increase the chances that that person will not return to prison, you are lowering the costs of incarceration.
So many reasons why higher education for inmates is a good thing all around. Why is this not accepted? Why is this not government funded? Why isn't it a given at every prison in the United States? What's holding it back?
Well, what's holding it back is media campaigns since the 1970s about Get Tough on Crime. And the tough on crime line has basically portrayed all criminals as worthless, violent bums who don't deserve any kind of rehabilitation or help, who don't deserve the same opportunities that any other citizen in the United States would have. So in 1994, as part of the Omnibus Crime Bill, which was the largest crime bill in the history of the United States, eligibility for Pell Grants, which is the main financial aid available in higher education, was taken away from prisoners. And that meant that most college programs had to close down. The ones that have continued to exist have been able to exist because they have engaged in constant fundraising. And that's been their only source of support.
So what needs to happen to make this case? I mean, obviously, your book goes a long way toward helping erase some of the misconceptions about education in prisons. But are there initiatives, you pointed out California is pretty progressive, are there initiatives that can be helped or boosted? Is there a conversation happening at the federal level about really taking on this issue of access to higher education in prisons?
Well, there certainly was a conversation that was begun in the Obama administration with Eric Holder and Barack Obama himself. And they instituted an experimental return to Pell Grants for some people in prison. And that quote unquote experiment needs to be publicized and continued. But I think more and more of us need to speak out about the issue, and the kind of conversation you have on your program is very important in educating the public. We need to reverse the negative stereotypes that have so long driven criminal justice policy in the wrong directions and made us anomalous in the world. If you compare us to any of the other advanced democracies, their imprisonment policies are totally different. And they offer all sorts of educational programs. And we don't do that, and we need to.
Well, Ellen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the book. I appreciate the work you've done.
Thank you, and I hope you keep this conversation going.
My guest is Ellen Condliff-Nagaman. She is the former dean of the Harvard Graduate School of Education and president of the Spencer Foundation. She's a distinguished fellow of the Bard Prison Initiative at Bard College, and we've been talking about her new book, Liberating Minds, The Case for College in Prison. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo. Yeah.